is Jacob Westendorf. Packers on SI. Follow him on X at Jacob Westendorf. Mr. Westendorf, how are you today?
I'm doing well. It's April. It's raining, stormy, snowy. Well, not snowy, but it's kind of crappy outside, so that's a bit of a bummer. But otherwise, it's draft month. Baseball's rolling. Like, almost feels like spring.
You know, you have some work to do to catch up to Andy Herman of the Pack a Day podcast with his new backdrop that he has currently in his house. I don't know if everybody saw this or not, but Andy Herman's backdrop in his house, he went and made or had custom made three lockers that look like Packer locker room lockers, and then has like three jerseys hanging up in there.
He's such a nerd.
Oh, dude, it looks awesome. You can say what you want about him being a nerd, and that may be true. I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying it looks sweet, Mr. Westendorf.
Yeah, it does. I'm jealous. I'm not jealous of much, but I am jealous of that. So I'm going to ask him. I'm working on a new house and everything, so once I get that stuff squared away, I'm going to ask him where he got that stuff done, what it caught, like all that kind of logistical stuff, and see if maybe I can replicate it.
I had a tweet that I saw that came back to me today. I put out after Kirk Cousins went to the Raiders. I said, are the Packers really going to stick with Desmond Ridder here? I mean, is this really going to be the option to go with at backup quarterback? And it was then tweeted out after the fact, I think by Russini, that the Packers were one of the teams interested in trying to bring Kirk Cousins to Green Bay, which makes sense because LaFleur and him weren't in Atlanta or whatever. Where were they together? Washington. They were in Washington together, him and LaFleur. And I had a person tweet back at me, Dream Big, tweeted back at Sparky Radio and said, bring Aaron Rodgers back to finish his career, Jacob Westendorf.
Great story. Right along the lines of the same fairy tales and such that my 6 and 3 year old watch. I have a very hard time believing Aaron Rodgers wants to be a backup. I'm not sure he wants to be a starter. So that, I guess, remains to be seen. Allegedly, they expect his decision before the draft, but I feel like we've done this song and dance here in Green Bay a lot, so we kind of know how that game goes.
Yeah, absolutely, we have. I have another question for you. Do you think he'd be a good coach if he wanted to be?
Maybe. You know, I've heard the way he talks about stuff and everything like that. Obviously, he has high expectations and things like that. I do wonder if his demeanor, communication style, stuff like that would fit well with some players. But, I mean, on the same token, Jordan Love, Will Howard, Mason Rudolph, like guys that have been Rodgers' backups in recent memory have all said they had good relationships with him and he helped them a lot. So maybe I would be stunned if Rodgers has any interest in doing anything like that either.
I thought it would be interesting. All right, let's talk about your piece up on Packers on SI right now. You go through and fill in some of the holes that the Packers need to fill between now and next offseason. And the one thing we've been constantly talking about here is, where do you go with the draft and where do you spend your money in free agency? And maybe you use a little of both at different positions. Defensive tackle, they took a big step forward with Javon Hargrave, obviously, to put him now with Devontae Wyatt. I think they probably still need another massive human being to rotate in here with Hargrave. And you have a suggestion for that position.
I do. It's DJ Reader, who I think the comparison that I made was that sometimes in free agency, like I remember when the Packers were after Xavier McKinney and it was just like, they need a safety. He's the best safety on the market. It makes perfect sense, right? Like, why would they not be, at least be in on, whether they signed him was a separate story, but be in on Xavier McKinney. Reader is another one of those players. They need a nose tackle, veteran nose tackle, I think, because that's a position that's pretty hard to fill from an impactful standpoint in your first year. As a rookie. So relying on a rookie to be a nose tackle in a Super Bowl window, I think is not the greatest way to do it. You know, if this were 2023 and it's Jordan Love's first season at the helm, then yeah, maybe you're okay with a rookie and doing that kind of stuff, but it's not. You know, you've traded for Micah Parsons, you pushed all your chips to the center table, stuff like that. DJ Reader is somebody who's filled that role. Again, it's not the perfect fit because he is an older player, could be aging, something like that. I think this is a guy that you can bring in as a veteran, and if the guys behind him, whether that's Nazir Stackhouse and Jonathan Ford, the guys that are probably starting at that position if there was a game tomorrow, or if you draft somebody, and if those guys end up beating him out, then you have no problem cutting a guy like that either. So I think that that's something that is worth looking into, though, but I do think that defensive tackle, when you talk about one or the other, the answer to these guys should be both.
Yeah, I saw that you did that, and not only did you go both, you took the Packers' first pick in the second round and said, we're going to go get another defensive tackle here because we still don't have enough. Now, I'll give you credit. You did the most obvious thing in the world and said, let's give him a Georgia Bulldog and make sure I'm going to be right on this if we're going defensive tackle. So you did the right school and all of that. So talk about this decision.
Yeah, so Christian Miller is somebody who I think fits Green Bay's defense really well. He's young, he's ascending, played his best football towards the end of last season. He's powerful, he's a good run defender, which is what the Packers are looking for, especially early in his career. And the other reality on Green Bay's defensive line is, I know that we've all kind of expected Devontae Wyatt to get a contract extension, but he doesn't have one yet.
Nope.
Carl Brooks is entering the final year of his deal. Colby Wooden was the other guy I was talking about. He was in the final year of his deal. He's gone now. I mean, they don't have a lot of bodies that are under contract at that position for a while that you're like, okay, those are guys that, like, if this guy leaves, this guy can step in. You know, Warren Brinson, Nazir Stackhouse, Jonathan Ford, a lot of those guys are dart throws at the wall, and you're kind of hoping one ends up sticking as even just a rotational player, let alone becoming a starter for something like that. So Miller, like you said, it saves the equipment guys some time. All they really have to do is spray paint the helmet yellow, and you can keep the same G and make sure that the color comes out of it, flush that out, and make it white. But to me, that's another one of those guys that if he's available in the second round, there is some question. He doesn't have that full athletic profile, which the Packers can probably figure out a way to get. But since we don't have it, it's not like what you may find in the Green Bay draft guide as a slam dunk for sure. This absolutely fits, you know, similar to what like Christian Watson was, for example, when the Packers took him or somebody like that.
All right, so that was the second, the first pick on day two. Now let's talk about the third round pick for the Green Bay Packers.
Yes, so it's more of a day three stuff on that, but well, it depends what story. Yeah, for filling needs, yeah, I had Chris McClellan, and this was before his pro day came out that this was filed, so that does not look good. They would have to make some exceptions, which they've been willing to do on day three in the past.
Hold on. Well, I realize that a lot of our audience may know what you're talking about. I also realize a lot of our audience has no idea when you start talking about making exceptions. They're going to like, making exceptions to what? What are we talking about here? So let's just go back, because Jacob and I have done lots of draft stuff the last couple of years. So we're both talking and understanding each other, but I want to bring everybody else up to speed here. Talk about Packer expectations, kind of guidelines that they like to play in, what sandbox they like to play in. And then there are certain guys like Tavondre Sweat was never going to get drafted by the Green Bay Packers for certain reasons. So go ahead and explain why.
Yeah, so Sweat, for example, super heavy, not that athletic, and kind of turns like a dump truck. You know, just for example, the way his agility works, he doesn't move well from side to side. So with the preferred model or the thresholds, whatever terms you want to use, it was something kind of established by Ron Wolf back in the 90s when he became the general manager, and they've kind of gone by this model ever since. Now, there have been exceptions. Like it used to be they don't take short receivers. Well, they've taken Matthew Golden. They've taken Randall Cobb. They don't take short cornerbacks. Jaire Alexander, they admitted, was kind of like right on the line for what they typically prefer from a size standpoint in that position. So in McClellan's case, this was a speed and agility type of situation where he doesn't move that well from side to side. At least he didn't test that way from that standpoint. Now, like I said, they have made exceptions to that in the past. And on the third day of the draft, especially, it's harder to be as picky because there's fewer players, right? It just kind of makes sense in that way. Kingsley Enagbare, for example, was somebody who may not have fit the Packers' preferred model, if you will, in the fifth round when they took him, but he was a fifth round pick. So they were willing to kind of bend their rules, so to speak, to get something like that. So that's somebody who he has some juice, I think, McClellan, or at least the tape that, you know, I've been able to watch of his says he has some juice, but I'm not so sure that they're going to be able to get past the fact that, you know, his ceiling as an athlete is pretty low.
All right, let's talk about Chris Johnson, the kid out of San Diego State. Now, this is a guy that makes a lot of sense for the Packers, too. And I think there are a lot of Packer fans that would love to see Chris Johnson be their guy there on day two.
Yeah, he is this year's Cooper DeJean.
Yep.
Any walking wide receiver, you know, whoever the guy is that we've all collectively decided is the perfect Packers pick or the obvious Packers pick, whatever that is. He's that guy this year. The question that we're going to run into is he's – Green Bay doesn't pick until pick 52. That's a long time. Is he going to be available? And there's a chance. Those chances seem to get slimmer by the day.
When we started this process, is he worth going up for?
That's a good question, because how far would you have to go up is kind of the question. The Packers have limited draft capital. And like, so for example, the example I used on Monday talking with Jacob Morley was it was pick 53 and pick 59 to move to 34. to go get Christian Watson. Now, you may have paid a Packers tax with the Vikings in that kind of negotiation, but that is something that you may have to consider. So to get up to, say, pick, you know, 30, are you trading 52, 84, and their fourth round pick to move up for one guy? In a different world, maybe that's something that you do for a guy who you feel like is a can't miss prospect. I just don't know. Even if Johnson is like a perfect fit for this Green Bay team, I could see them moving if he's available at like 45, 46, right, 47, making a small move like that to move up. But with the limited amount of capital that they have this year, I think they're way more likely to move down in any of the rounds than they are to move up at any point.
What about Malik Muhammad out of Texas? That's another corner.
Yeah, you need to take him to Wendy's. He needs gain a couple pounds. We got to get him a Frosty and there some fries and a Baconator. Mm-hmm. But once you do that, he showed up at his pro day at 190 pounds. The concern with him going into his pro day was that he was only listed as 182 pounds. And the Packers have typically liked their corners to be a little bit more dense, heavier, have some size to them on something like that. So with him weighing 190 now and being 6 feet tall, he's kind of, again, right on that line of something like that. But from a coverage standpoint, he's sticky in coverage, has some ball skills, had a couple of picks last year. And the Packers, their cornerback room, they had two total. So that's something they certainly need to add to their roster. But, yeah, if they think if he weighs enough, you know, to kind of fit their preference, then that's somebody that I think that could be a really good pick for them in the third round.
Talking with Jacob Westendorf, Packers on SI. Go check out that great stuff. Follow him on X at Jacob Westendorf. I'm going to get away from the draft because you have several more college guys there that we could talk about, but I don't have a ton of time. I want to get to the two free agents that you suggested as well, one of which, a former Badger, local here, Wisconsin Luther kid, Kevin Zeitler. Offensive lineman, been around a minute now. How do you see Zeitler fitting into what the Packers would want to do?
Yeah, so I think from left tackle to right tackle, we feel pretty good about projecting Green Bay starting five on the offensive line, right? It's Jordan Morgan and then Aaron Banks and Sean Ryan and then Anthony Belton at right guard with Zach Tom at right tackle. The point that I've kind of made over the last couple of weeks is there's no reason, in my opinion, that Anthony Belton should just be penciled in as a surefire starter at that position. And if Kevin Zeitler is somebody who wanted to come back to Wisconsin, his home area, and play for the Packers, he's a veteran guard. And he's somebody who, if Anthony Belton wins that job over Zeitler, you feel okay about that because, great, the veteran, you know, Zeitler's a little bit older anyways. He can mentor the offensive line or they can release him or, you know, whatever it is at the end of camp. And you're better off because the younger player, the less expensive player most likely, has made his way into the starting lineup and proven his mettle. You know, that iron sharpens iron kind of theory when it comes to competition. If he doesn't, though, then Zeitler is somebody who he's played a lot of good football over the years. He's rock solid as a veteran guard. And to me, I think there's something to be said about the fact he's played in Tennessee and Cleveland in his career. Oof. Not a whole lot of winning going on in those places. So he could be somebody who's hungry to kind of chase a championship, come to Green Bay, solidify that guard spot. Because listen, with Jordan Love is protected, he's lights out. Last year, he was the best quarterback in the NFL when he was from a clean pocket. So Green Bay has to do as best they can this year. Their offensive line last year, to me, is the biggest reason they lost that game against Chicago in the playoffs. And they need to figure out a way to fix some of that stuff. I don't think they're going to do this. But if I were them, having a veteran offensive lineman to push Anthony Belton, I don't think that's a bad thing to have on your roster at all. And the more depth you can have, you saw it last year, right? Green Bay played in the first 4 weeks of the season, like eight different guys and 10 different combinations or something crazy like that.
I agree with you on Zeitler. I think that would be a marvelous move, especially if he's willing to take a hometown discount type deal to come back and chase a ring. See that all the time in the NBA, guys taking less money to go ring chase. And so if Zeitler's willing to do something like that, that would be great. They have, what, $23 million, something like that. They're going to have more than that once you get to the post-June 1st thing. The other guy that you brought up is a guy that's hurt all the time, but when healthy, could still be pretty good, and Joey Bosa.
Yeah, so the idea that I've kind of had since the offseason started was trying to figure out who is that defensive end who hasn't won a title, he's hungry and chasing a championship, and is okay with being a secondary role type of player. So the example that I've kind of been drawing off of for that is in 2017 when the Eagles beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl, that was Chris Long. Chris Long came in obvious passing situations, but wasn't a quote-unquote starter. Joey Bosa is somebody who could start now while Micah Parsons is rehabbing and trying to find his way back on the field across from Lucas Van Ness. And then Van Ness is obviously going to start across from Parsons when he gets back. And then when Parsons gets back, Bosa can become that, you know, then you run out of four of Micah Parsons, Joey Bosa, Lucas Van Ness, and Devontae Wyatt trying to get after opposing quarterbacks. And again, Bosa is somebody who has a reputation as somebody with a high motor. After hearing Parsons' comments about race me to the quarterback and all those things, and then some of the questions, fair or unfair, about Rashawn Gary after, before and after he was traded, I just think he's somebody that, from a culture standpoint, on that end of things, he would fit in pretty well. But you could add in, you know, any of, there's a lot of these guys this year in the offseason. The poster child for me was Khalil Mack when the offseason started. Obviously, he got a deal before anybody could even make him an offer. So I think that that type of player, though, somebody who is a productive pass rusher, his job is going to be to come in and scream off the edge and hit the quarterback, and somebody who's kind of had a, you know, a pedigree and production of doing that in the past. So Bosa is somebody that I think could certainly be a player like that, and there are others as well.
He is Jacob Westendorf. Go check out this article. There are so many names and so much research done by Jacob Westendorf as to why a lot of these players are fits for the Green Bay Packers. I think you'll truly enjoy it and probably get educated a little bit too, because not everybody has all the time in the world to watch all these guys. Jacob Westendorf, Packers on SI. Follow him on X at Jacob Westendorf. And on the way out, I want to make sure you promote your draft guide.
Yeah, I just filed a bunch of stuff. Defensive tackles, defensive ends, linebackers. We got all kinds of stuff, though. 225 profiles last year. If you guys bought a guide when everything was in Green Bay, there was a boatload of commercials and stuff on this very platform that you guys were nice enough to do for us. So we had them all, and we had Matthew Golden, for example, as a very, very high fit. The only question we had was whether or not the size was going to be something that was there. But Ross Uglum, Jacob Morley, myself, we all write features on that. Some are draft related, some are not. And even if you're not a Packers fan, if you are, I'm not sure why you're listening to the show, but hey, happy to have you here. But if you aren't, there's still information in there that is worthwhile for you guys to get to know everybody, because we have guys from rounds 1 to 7. And if there was a year where, as a Packers fan, you certainly need that draft guide, it's this year, because Green Bay doesn't have a first round pick.
I mean, even if you're a Bears fan, Vikings fan, Lions fan, Dolphins fan, Raiders fan, whatever the case may be, because there's people move here from all over the country that are fans of everybody else, it's still going to be great to have just sitting next to you when your team makes a pick to see what these guys think of them. So definitely worth going and getting. How do people get that draft guide?
Yeah, so I have to pin it to my Twitter profile, but you can go, I'll give him some pub, not that he needs any, at Jacob Morley, his pinned tweet. You can pre-order it there. It's going to be cheaper now than when it becomes launched, and we're setting a launch date here in the coming days. So in the next, you know, 7 to 10 days or so, it's going to go up in price. So get it cheaper while you can. If you're like me at all, you love a good bargain, right? What man or woman doesn't love a good bargain? So if you can get one, that's something you certainly want to do.
Go do that today. Thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you.